Notes on Ecclesiastes. Part 3. From the Hand of Loam, by Dean H. Huff. Our Experience of Evil, ECC.1.13, includes the discovery that nothing on earth is permanent. All the deeds that are done under the sun. Behold, the whole is vanity and a grazing on wind, 1:14. All our efforts and all our gains of good are transitory. We toil and strive with our hands, concentrate and examine with our minds, seeking for our wants and needs, but the pleasures and satisfactions do not last. The figure of speech used here is appropriate. It is like grazing on wind. Yet this is given to us by God. It is from His hand, Ek. 1:13, 2:24-26. Given by God. None of us are rulers in Jerusalem, of the line of David, and few have the means and opportunity to apply our minds and hands as the assembler could do. But his endeavors and investigations were given to him by God, and our toil and learning have also been given to us by God. We do learn from his reports here in Ecclesiastes, but we verify the truth of what he says by our own experiences. The important lesson for us in this book is to recognize, as the assembler recognized, that whatever experiences we have and whatever lessons we learn from them are from God's hand. It is true that we make decisions and do things with our hands. But if we trace our experiences only to ourselves and do not recognize the hand of God behind them all, then we must despair. The assembler faced all his deeds that his hands had done, 2:11. But in the end he associated the experience and the lessons learned with the hand of Loam, 2:24. Experience and learning. The assembler applied his heart, or as we would say today, his mind, to know wisdom and such opposites of wisdom as raving and frivolity, 1:17. This brought him a great deal of vexation and pain, 1:18. He sought mirth, 2:2, and frivolity associated with wine, 2:3. He accumulated houses, vineyards, gardens, parks, reservoirs of water, servants, cattle and flocks, silver and gold, music and rich delights, 2:4-8. Most of us cannot accumulate such riches, though, to be honest, we do struggle for things that appeal. But wisdom acknowledges in truth, they do not give us lasting pleasure or real contentment any more than his accumulations gave lasting pleasure to the assembler. To be sure, the assembler found that this wisdom of knowing the vanity of frivolity was far better than the frivolity, ECC.2.13. But this only temporized the frustration, for the destiny of the stupid man is also mine, and it shall befall me. To what advantage then have I been wise? 2:14-15. This led the assembler to exclaim, "Then I hated life and I hated all the fruit of my toil for which I was toiling under the sun, that I would leave to the man who shall come after me." 2:17-18. This too. All advantages are temporary and relative. Wisdom is better than frivolity, but in the end the wise toiler dies and the stupid, frivolous person dies. If they have gained some good, it is left to someone else. This too is vanity, 2:19. This too is vanity and a great evil, 2:21. Not only this, but even while alive, those who toil diligently with pain and vexation are troubled with unrest even in the night, and this too, it is vanity, 2:23. As a whole, the best that can be said is that the enjoyment of good is better than stupidity, even though both are transitory. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and cause his soul to see good from his toil, 2:24. Having said this, the assembler changes his refrain from observing "this too is vanity" to "this too is from the hand of Loam." The good of enjoying the fruit of one's labor is fleeting, and so it certainly is vanity, like everything else. But it is good, nevertheless, and the assembler sizes the point, adding to it that vital recognition of God that gives Ecclesiastes its special place and value among human assessments of human experience. The new observation, "this too is from the hand of Loam," is like the old observation, "this too is vanity," in one respect at least. Both assessments include the little word, too. All these human experiences are vanity, or transitory. But they also are all from the hand of God. He gives, it is Elohim who gives the relative goodness of wisdom and knowledge and rejoicing to the one who is well-pleasing before him, 2:26a. It is also Elohim who gives the experience of gathering possessions which ultimately must be given to others, 2:26b. He gives the fleeting goodness to some, and he gives the fleetingness of gathering and collecting to all, for all our sinners. In this, as we have insisted, lies the value of the assembler's wisdom. Compared with the revelations given to Paul, for example, the book of Ecclesiastes takes us only a small step forward in appreciation of God. But the recognition of God as the one who gives human experience is essential to our appreciation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ on the cross tells us nothing great or glorious about God unless it is from the hand of God. The salvation of sinners tells us nothing of God's power and love unless it is from the hand of God. Our calling and expectation reveals nothing about God's grace and purpose unless they are from His hand. Present dangers. We live in a world where the recognition of God is denigrated. The traditional, religious presentation of God as an arbitrary tyrant full of eternal wrath against bad people and favoritism toward others for uncertain purposes, is much to blame for this. There are other powerful influences involved, indeed, but whatever the reasons, the fact remains that agnosticism is growing in the minds of modern humanity. In anger, even in mild annoyance, God is cursed in everyday speech apart from much confidence in His existence, let alone a recognition of Him as the source of all things. The language is intended to tell more about the speaker than anything whatever about God. God is also sometimes spoken of more favorably, even prayed to, in formal, ritualistic, pious ways apart from any deep conviction that He is there. This also is done more to bring attention to the human being than the one who gives us all, and upon whom we rely for breath and life and meaning for existence. Consequently, the book of Ecclesiastes is a most valuable portion of God's word for mankind today. It faces the issues and problems of human experience honestly and forcefully. But more than this, it does so, clearly tracing these experiences to the hand of God, from which all experiences truly come. Dean H. Huff. Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to Main Index Page.